The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. And now we're standing with you with Employee Pricing Plus. Hurry into your Jeep brand dealer for details today and join the family. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. Does not apply to leases. Ends June 2nd, 2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Oh my gosh, girls, how you doing?
Hey, we're 4 years old today.
We're four years old.
4 years of Tunnel Talk, doing that intro.
That's clapping crazy. Claps. Guys.
It is crazy.
How did this happen?
I don't know. The other day when you were like, we're 5 years older than we started watching wrestling, it's really been haunting me for some reason. It's like, yeah, 4 years have passed. We've all aged 4 years.
Well, I had a moment where I was thinking about it in terms of like, how long have we known each other now? We've known each other since
2017.
Yeah, so like 9 years. So I was like, but 4 years ago, we had only known each other for 5 years, and now we've known each other for 9 years.
It is crazy when it's like, oh, so wrestling's what we've been doing together for a really big chunk of...
Yeah.
But, yeah. And last week, I really wish we were recording for it because it was like the funniest progression. I don't even remember why we were talking about it, but you were like, well, if we stopped doing the podcast, it wouldn't be like the end of the world. And then we kept talking and you were like, well, I mean, it would be bad. Like what? I just wouldn't go on the podcast? Like, what would I do on Thursdays? Would I do something else?
I did go from like, this podcast isn't emotionally load-bearing to me to actually it's the most important thing in my life. Yeah.
And everything else revolves around this podcast.
And then what killed me is that your voice went from very assertive to like smaller and more uncertain. And you were like, and then.
Of course, if it stopped, of course I'd be lost. Yeah.
And it can't stop. It actually can't ever stop. My goodness. You can't get away from the fact that time passes. The time will pass.
It's true. You start doing something and then you keep doing it and then you've just been doing it. That's just who you are now.
I'm just a wrestling podcaster. I can't even laugh about it. It's just literally what I am.
It's actually pretty thrilling because as someone with like, you know, pretty serious commitment issues, it's thrilling to have done something for long enough that you can just be like, this is part of my identity. This is what I do. That I don't usually get there, to be honest. So
it's almost certainly the longest like thing that I've ever voluntarily done.
Yeah. Like a serious hobby activity. Yeah.
Because I love to pick things up, get really excited about them for 3 months, and then forget about them. It's like my number one activity.
I don't know. I think this podcast has helped us grow as people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and in that same conversation, you were like, I think it's actually good for our spirits to have a weekly infusion of laughing.
That was my...
Was that you?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we're doing a scientific experiment to see like whether a weekly, you know... session of like truly nonstop giggle laughter is good for your brain. And I'm like, well, I mean, we're not, you know, it's, there's no, we don't have any, what do you call it when it's the, you know, the, it's the one where you're not doing the experiment.
A control.
control. We don't have any control group except for, I guess me before I was doing this podcast, but I used to have a roommate. So I used to laugh with her. Now I live alone. So.
There used to be laughter in your life, but now only on this podcast.
Once upon a time, I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart. I'm
well, I'm gonna isolate your audio from the last 30 seconds, so you're just you talking, and then I'm gonna put like slow piano music underneath it. I used to laugh when I had a roommate. Now I'm alone.
I really want to be clear with our listeners. I have lots of friends.
I have a very full life.
I still laugh. I just meant that when you live alone, you don't, you know, you don't usually like have a big old belly laugh just like out of nowhere while you're brushing your teeth. You know, when you have a roommate, anything can happen at any time. If you like your roommate, if you don't like your roommate, you probably don't laugh with them. But
anything could still happen. You know.
Yeah. So true. Okay, so what are you guys drinking for our 4-year anniversary? Here we are. We got some special little drinks for ourselves. What do you guys have?
I picked a flowery rosé. It's called Jour Une Rose, which you had told us that for the 4-year anniversary was both fruit and flowers.
Yeah, fruit or flowers.
I did a flowery wine. I love it.
Yeah, I went fruit, so I've got a tart cherry juice cocktail, which I had it on hand for the anti-inflammatory qualities.
Oh, so great!
So I was like, "What have I got in the house that I could do here?" So it's it's all right.
That's great. Well, I had to run an errand anyway, so I went to Ken and Norm's liquor store, one of those classic types of store that's like two men, and it's like they're married, and then they're probably just men who are friends, but.
I don't know. My dog groomers, it's two men. They're married. Own the business together. Yeah.
Wow. What are their names?
Call them out. Rick and Paul, I think.
Rick and Paul. Is that the name of their store?
No, their store is called Pretty Paws Grooming. So.
That's so cute. But I wish it was Rick and Paul's Pretty Paws Grooming.
I know. That'd be great.
Like Ken and Norm's. And then we also have Bobby and Steve's. There's another one. Oh, it's Don and something. And they sell pet food. So.
I mean, you never know.
Anyway, I went to Ken and Norm's and I got a bottle of Prosecco. Oh. Do you guys, so anything you want to reflect on about, we've now been wrestling fans for 5 years, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you feel about the biz?
I had to make a Google form for work, and I was going through my Google forms on my personal account, and I discovered that I think 6 months, maybe 9 months into our being wrestling fans, I made the group chat, I don't know if you girls remember this, a quiz that was called Who's This Man? And I just showed you a picture of the man with a drop down of the AEW roster. And you had to pick which man it was.
And I bet that went
our
really
group
bad.
Chat, it went real bad. There was like, it was 8 months in and we were like, I know it's a gun, but I don't know which gun it is. But you know what, girls? I think we would do really good on that quiz now.
We're so good at identifying men now. That used to be a real lack of skill area, like a real growth area for us. But now I can identify so many of them.
It scares me a little, though. Like, I'm like, oh, God, should we be able to identify them? Like, maybe we've really messed up.
If I showed you a picture of a gun, you would know which gun it was.
The short one is Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you tell from a picture, though, if he was short or not?
Yeah, because the short one has a different face than the tall one.
That's certainly true.
Yeah, he has short guy face.
But
yeah.
I don't know how else to describe the difference between them. You know what I mean? True. That's just the distinguishing. The short Austin is the one that I think is the cute one.
That's right. And Colton's the one that I think is the cute one. I think Leah also agrees with me on that one.
Okay. Well, no need to gang up on me, guys.
Well, you know, with three people, you're always in a gang, or you're not.
You're either in the gang or you're getting ganged. Shouldn't say that, maybe. Yeah, so we can identify men. That's probably the biggest thing now is that we know their names, most of them. More.
We know a handful of moves.
Yeah.
You know,
name
somebody's house call.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Paradigm shift.
Hurricane Rana. Suplex. German suplex.
German suplex DDT. Spinning DDT.
See? We know moves.
Buckshot lariat. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Wow, that good was job, really everybody. Good, guys. We really got those moves. We know that getting pinned is a position like missionary.
Very true. And we know it's the most humiliating way to lose a match, whereas passing out is macho.
Well, hold your thoughts because we'll circle back on that later.
We've really been introduced to the world of men in a way that I think in the past we hadn't been quite as immersed in.
No, that's been scary. It's been scary to learn more about men.
Well, it's just interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine about this where I was like, I work in academia, which tends to be women heavy, and I'm queer, and all my friend groups tend to be heavy women. So, like, until I got into wrestling, I encountered dudes occasionally and in very limited circumstances. And now I would say I spend many of my waking hours with men, and some of them are quite nice, but they are still men,
and their norms are foreign. I mean, even the nice ones, occasionally you'll be like, "Whoa, is that?" And so that's what you guys are up to. It is true. Most of the men that are in my life are like, I guess I'll call them accompanied men. I mean, it's like I met them. I met them through like being in an MFA program, but also it's like they come with a woman. They're Kens,
Yeah, they're Kens, of course. Their jobs are beach. That's what they're doing.
They're just here in a supporting role, and they're aware of that.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to tell my friends to try and decide what Kens they are and be like, it's my friend, DSA Ken.
And I think your friends would really get into it, too.
They would like MFA, it, actually. So, they would like it, They're probably mad that I haven't told them what Ken they are yet. Wow, they've been waiting this whole time.
They've probably been sitting on that rage for years,
You're angry, Ken.
Crazy, dude, to think about, like, all the guests we've had on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, joining the Social Suplex Network, it's been quite a little journey from, having, like, 20 people listen to us.
When we hit 50 listeners, I remember that feeling of being like, wow, this is huge. This is huge.
Those can't all be our friends.
That's more than people who feel obligated to listen.
I remember not really liking that either. Like being like, I don't know if people we don't know should be allowed to hear the things that we have to say. Like that doesn't feel right to me.
And now the subjects of the podcast could... We've said it before.
We'll say it again. They can't get to this side of the internet. They can't access this content.
I remember when we got Sarah Shockey on, and I was like, "This is huge! Like, she's the reason that we made a podcast. She's so funny.
Yeah,
like, I know a lot about her personal life because I'm obsessed with her and missed all her medical Patreon updates at the beginning of her pod. Like, I have a parasocial relationship with her, and now she knows who I am. And now it's like, Then I had the Young Bucks on.
It's quite a journey.
And she was such a great guy. I mean, it was, we're very lucky that everyone that we have ended up interfacing in the world of wrestling that we, didn't know and then, we actually came face-to-face with them has been a delight.
What if we were, except that one guest who was a monster? And then all of our friends are like, who was it? And we refuse to identify. And
we're like, it's a secret. It's an unpublished. Well, I have to say I'm happy we got into wrestling. I'm happy that we're here. And I'm happy that we've always made our own fun and we always will.
We always will. We love to laugh.
Dedication. We'll have a good time by hook or by crook, whether or not Tony Khan wants us to.
Well, because if we show up here and we don't laugh, it ruins our science experiment about how laughter affects the brain.
We're really doing a lot of dementia prevention here with the laughter, the trying to remember what happened last night.
We're just trying to remember words and concepts like control group for me. not a high point. All right. Anything else you want to say about 4 years in wrestling before we have a I don't know. Did it surprise you guys how light this schedule was? Like, it's not that I thought a ton had happened this week, but...
It didn't surprise me because when I sat down to do my notes this morning, I was like, and what happened? Did anything happen?
It didn't surprise me either. It's like there were fun matches, but I don't know if you guys know this, but our wheelhouse is not really being good at talking about the matches themselves. Yeah.
There's a limit to how much we can say about the fun matches because, as you heard, of the number of moves we can name, which is not that many. So we know when we liked them, but we can't really break them down for you.
No, we're often like, yeah, I loved that match. Couldn't tell you
anyway,
why.
Here's 30 minutes on Max Caster's segment. Yeah.
God, maybe he'll weasel his way in here again. Who knows?
That'd be great. Boy.
I loved the Trish and Sarah suggestion this week that we should have a debate with Brian Alvarez about whether Max Caster has utility in the company. I'm like, what's to debate? We right. can all see with our eyes how utility right. he is.
We'd be right.
I know, it's like, he just shows up, we're just like, well, seems to me you don't really understand
how wrestling. Yeah, Brian Alvarez.
Can you go back to wrestling school? Because you don't get it.
Yeah. Not like we do. Not like watching 2020.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Do you guys remember? I remember Sarah Shockey on their podcast, her being like, oh, yeah, like I'm a newer wrestling fan. I mean, I've been watching it like 8 years now. And I was like, wow, it's so funny that you can have watched wrestling for 8 years and you're still a newer fan. And now I get it, you know? Yeah. Just never catch up.
Well, we could watch for 30 years and I would still be like, I'm a newer wrestler.
I know. Well, yeah.
I think maybe like, there's something like it's, you know, whoever said it, I don't know if Mary said it or someone else said it, the thing about like you get into wrestling because you're an 8-year-old boy or because you've gone through an intense trauma.
It was David Bixenspan.
David Bixenspan,
still
there you
the
go.
Funniest thing he's ever said.
It's so funny, but I think that the like caveat to it is that, yeah, you can get there because of an intense trauma in your personal life, but that means you'll always be a new wrestling fan. Unless you were an 8-year-old boy wrestling fan, you'll always be a new wrestling fan.
You'll never be a concert pianist unless you start as a young child. I mean, we missed our window to be.
Yeah. So we're going to be playing chopsticks forever, but that's okay. You can still have fun playing chopsticks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the wrestling such as it was. This week on Collision, we had two AEW International Title Eliminator Tournament matches. Why is that such a long title? Whatever. Ricochet beat Shibata and Mark Davis beat Mark Briscoe. And so then Dynamite opened with Mike Bailey, Mark Davis, Ricochet, and OC duking it out in a four-way for the spot versus Kenny at Dynasty. And I thought this was it's quite fun to have three kind of like small jumpy boys against one big boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was like a really good four-way because each one of the four people had a very distinct personality. And so you really like, I like sometimes if they're too similar, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like this one, every time a new person got into the ring, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the part where the three little guys all unionized against Mark Davis, where it's like, oh, some of you are heels and some of you are baby faces, but it doesn't matter in the face of Mark Davis's butt.
When you see a big old Goliath, you have no choice but to band together and try and get his ass. And they did it was quite like a fun, funny, fast-paced match, so I had a good time.
Yeah, yeah, he did a lot of comedy spots too, which he has been able to be a little more of a comedy boy lately because he's back in the pre-show.
Yeah,
so
he got booted out of the title scene. Yeah, but you know, it's fine.
He's essentially back on Dark.
Yeah,
as close as we can get these days.
I also really enjoyed Ricochet's little comedy moments, like when he grabbed the commentary desk and was like, "What guys, how are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Shouldn't you be wrestling?" And he was like, "Nah, I think they'll take care of that."
Ricochet, very good. So the match ended with Mike Bailey, Ricochet, and Mark Davis in kind of a confused like pin pretzel against the turnbuckle. I like this because it's just, you know, it's kind of a mess of bodies. It's just, what's going on there? We asked it, the refs asked it.
It looked a little bit like a really drunken game of Twister.
And I think I still don't really understand. There was a quote about what the actual like, the quote was kind of strange because it seemed like someone on commentary was like, well, so-and-so did the pin, but this other guy was there. So that counts for something. I don't really understand exactly what happened.
Did Ricochet, like, dive in at the last minute and kind piggyback on it?
Over Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey. I don't know why I just said panicked and was like, that's not his first name, but it is.
Speedball. It's that you thought
Speedball was his first name. Yeah. Calling him Mike Bailey feels like, what, is he working, like, finance? Accounts receivable? Like...
You know Mike Bailey down the line?
Mike Bailey. Yeah.
They call him Speedball because he's so good at bowling.
So Mike Bailey had Mark Davis pinned, and then Ricochet just kind of like leaped on top of him and was just like, I'm actually pinning Mike Bailey who's pinning Mark Davis. And it was like, oh, I don't really think that makes any sense.
Oh, but
I can't argue with you. Yeah.
And then the ref kind of had a vibe like, this has never happened in this. I don't know what to do. And it's like, surely it has, though. But
I have to say, I kind of enjoy it. I'm like, I don't know if it makes sense, but I thought it was fairly fun, honestly, for the ref to just like, the ref's vibe was kind of like, oh, I don't really get paid enough to figure this out. I don't know. You're all there. You're all there. Come on.
Yeah, just work it out amongst yourselves.
Can't you share the reward? So, and anyway, so Bailey. Speedball.
It's too many words. Speedball Mike Bailey is too many syllables. Mike
and I do Bailey. Feel very like, usually like you kind of understand what everyone's like settled on as like the short, you know, it's like we say Hangman, yeah. We don't say Hangman Adam Page the whole time. We don't call him Adam by itself, you know, like unless we're being in a crazy context.
Men's,
so like.
Men yeah. sometimes say Page, but we don't
do that. Well, weird. I guess Bailey is new, so perhaps in time we'll kind of like settle into hopefully. What we're calling them, you know, yeah. But mm-hmm. for now I get confused every time commentary kept saying Bailey, and I think it's actually probably pretty fucked up that like I don't watch WWE and yet every time they say Bailey I'm like, now that's a woman and she doesn't go there.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know what you're talking about. I think they should maybe stick with Speedball.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's my leaning. Again, calling him Mike Bailey just feels...
I
mean, I'm fine with feels,
it, but, like, I also am
like, Mike calling. Bailey brought something great to the barbecue this, you know, at our potluck.
Likely thing for Mike Bailey to do.
I'm fine with calling him Speedball, but part of me is, like, is it like when people call Orange Cassidy Orange? And if you're like, well, his first name isn't Orange.
But it's like when we call Hangman. His Hanger. First name's not Hangman.
I guess.
No, but
guess
that's, like, his fun nickname. I mean, I'm
exactly.
like...
Exactly.
So maybe Speedball is fine.
I guess the thing with Orange Cassidy is it's like Orange is his first name, but it shouldn't be.
Like, it's perverted that he chose it as
right.
his first name.
I don't,
yeah.
I don't contend that it isn't, but like, I won't be saying that. So, and maybe that's problematic. Speedball and Ricochet were just having words in the ring for a while after the end of the match. What do you guys want to talk about?
I think that's going to be, like, adding Kenny to that mix. Like, I already, like, really enjoyed Ricochet and Speedball together. But, like, yeah. Add Kenny to that mix. We're going to have fun. That's going to be, yeah. like, a very fun match.
I'd love for Kenny to bring a little bit of a deranged energy to yeah. it. I know that one mm-hmm. of the, you know, topics of conversation for the past couple weeks has been, like, should Kenny be clutching his guts or should Kenny be, like, the dominant, like, you know... guy he was in New Japan, and I'm like, actually it's a secret third thing, which is that Kenny should be a little more of a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I feel like he just needs to be a little more fun because he's been just kind of dour since he's been back.
I know.
Like,
I want him to have clearly fun in the ring. I want him to be telling me what's going on in his mind. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to worry that he's an old senior dog that's being abused. That's my abused. Major point with like him holding his guts. I'm like, well, maybe he shouldn't be wrestling. Are we supposed to be excited?
I know,
to
you're
see
like,
him?
If it's that big of a problem, stop the action.
That man almost died. Why are we doing this?
Is this an old dog sanctuary or not?
That's our newest way to get ourselves canceled by the IWC is that we're like just trying to get a job as three women who stand near the ring. And then if we think that an old dog is being abused, we step in and we say, stop the match. Everyone's being like, like, no, no one's been injured. Like, it's fine. They're just telling a little story in the ring. We're like, we said stop.
It's kayfabe. It's selling. No, I think he's hurt.
You're like,
what? That also would be an amazing heel gimmick, really. Harley Cameron, something to think about.
We're like, whether he's hurt yet or not, it's irresponsible to continue the action, I'm afraid. Kenny, let's take you back to your kennel. Let's get you some special osteoporosis kibble, okay?
Go in your crate. Go in your crate. He feels safe in there, okay?
Kenny's trying to be like, the ring is my crate. The ring is my crate. I don't know. I think dour is the word for how I feel. That I'm just like, Kenny, I want you to be having fun, and I'm worried that you're not, and I really don't care how strong or cool you look. Like, I just need you to, I need you to, like, explain what's going on in your brain, and then based on what you explain, I need to be like, wow, that's absolutely wackadoo. Wow, who would say that? And then I'd be like, he's back, baby. That's my guy.
Seriously.
I wish we were still seeing him, like, climbing things and then complaining about having climbed them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time you seem fun. Yeah, or breaking out some, like, 1930s slang, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Gee willikers.
Yeah.
He is going to be at Dynamite next week, and I am going to Dynamite next week.
Hell yeah, you are.
I'm pretty excited about. I'm honestly shocked. Thank you to listener Frankie, who updated me on the ticket sales, because I had gotten my friends to agree to go with me, and I still just kept, like, not pulling the trigger on buying tickets. I kept being like, oh, I gotta get to that eventually, I guess. And then Frankie was like, the tickets you want are on sale. I said, okay, I'll buy them. I can do this. I can do this. So I'm gonna go. So Kenny, I hope he does something fun. Hope he climbs something. I hope he climbs up the balcony to me.
Yeah.
And I give him a little kiss on his little head.
He climbs the balcony and you say, Kenny?
Kenny.
Kenny. I'm ending this match. It's not safe. Come here.
And he looks at me, just his big puppy eyes. He says, no, I'm having so much fun. And I say, okay, but if you look sad for even one moment, I'm coming down there and I'm stopping the action.
If I see you clutch your gut one time, that's it. You're in the kennel.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about Don Callis? What did he actually say about Mark Davis's butt? He said he has an enormous rear end.
I didn't actually hear him say it, but that is amazing.
He did say it, and I was staggered by it. I was like, and you're allowed to say that? I mean, he does, and it looks great. It's a beautiful dump. And now I have to say, I did not watch Collision this week. Anne, I know that you skimmed it. You want to speak to what Mark Davis said?
I don't even know what he said. It was one of the really quick promos, like, that opened the show, you know, where they kind of cut between different people who are doing stuff, which is a fun Collision thing. But he gave this promo that was like, he, like, did a cross-eyed thing at one point. He was kind of making weird faces and kind of doing, like, a generic, like, wrestling promo mostly, but it felt very like, I don't believe you. I don't think you want to beat anyone up for the first time. I don't believe it. And it was just weird. It was just like, Mark Davis, your energy. It's interesting.
Do you think, did Don Callis say anything on commentary this week about Mark Davis being reluctant? Because I'm very interested in whether, I think he didn't. And I was like, maybe they're just going to drop it. And I think that might be the right thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like I saw someone saying he had said one thing about it, but also, like, I didn't hear myself, so I could be wrong about that.
It's not
for, I mean, they would be smart to drop it because he's clearly not reluctant
not
at all.
Playing. Yeah.
There was also a Collision segment where they were like, Brian Cage and Lance Archer were like making him beat people up. Again, he looked very willing
to
do it.
Oh, so they
haven't
dropped it.
Yeah, no, they haven't dropped it.
Like, because they did that way back when. They did another?
I thought it was this week, although maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
No, you're probably right. I mean, there was one way before 2 weeks ago. So whatever you're remembering is more recent than what I'm remembering.
Yeah, it was in, like, the back hallway. They were throwing people around and being like, hey, man, like, beat him up. And he was like, okay. He did it.
Well,
they need to come up with, like, we need to get invited back there so we can salvage this and have Mark Davis be a, like, come up with some reason why he's like, I don't know. I just, like, I didn't think I wanted to do this. But when you guys tell me to punch someone, I'm like, oh, it does feel good.
What if What if it was, okay, what if it was a thing where Mark Davis, whenever he's alone with the Callis family, is like so mad and is like, you can't make me do this. Like, I'll never give in to your evil. And he's spitting in their faces and stuff. And then the second the cameras are on, he's just like happy to do evil. And they keep being like, stop. Like, just show them how you actually feel. Like, everyone's calling us crazy for saying this stuff about how
like
you're reluctant.
He's gaslighting them. Like, he's, like, doing psychological warfare on the Callis family.
They keep being like, what is your end game really here? Like, reluctant. This can't even be useful to you. And he's just like, I don't know. Get your fun out.
It's making them so nervous, so it is working.
Yeah, maybe that. So that's one way to save it. We need, like, a secret camera, like, you know, in the office when someone didn't want to be filmed and the camera crew had to, like, sneak up on them. We need a little of that to get to the bottom of things.
I would love if some of the backstage segments had a real office camera sneaking up on vibe to them. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Why have we never seen someone, like, an interview where someone was, like, wearing a wire, basically?
I think every once in a while they've done something. Like, I think MJF was involved in something where, like, he told them, like, he told the camera crew to get out, and then they just filmed, like, a crack in the door is, like, MJF, like, berated, I don't know, the people.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember something familiar. That's very fun. They should be doing stuff like that.
It'd be fun, too, if they were doing more, like, they say something and it's kind of embarrassing, and then they, like, look at the camera, just do, like, The Office, basically, you know, where they're, like, aware they're on camera and it changes what they say and do.
Yeah.
You know who would be really good at doing bits where he sneaks up on people with a camera? Alex Marvez.
In fact, I'd like a whole segment where we're just watching Alex Marvez, like, unbox his spy camera and be like, now, finally, I'll get some scoops again. Like, they're letting me back on TV, but I have to show that I can do this job, like, the way it needs to be done. And he gets, like, a carnation that clips onto his onto his front pocket, and it looks really, it really stands out. But, you know, that's just kind of Alex Marvez. Like, people just take it in stride because they're like, this dope is just wearing a carnation, of course he is. Well, the dope perhaps is you, because you're about to get caught saying something so damning.
And I want him to do it, like, in a cartoon where he starts, like, tilting the carnation to get the best angle, and still Will Ospreay doesn't say anything.
Will Ospreay thinks that Alex Marvez wants Will Ospreay to sniff the carnation, and really obligingly is just like, and takes a big sniff of it and is like, lovely, mate. And it does just smell like plastic. It's a plastic carnation.
I really do feel like you could trick wrestlers so easily, and that would be a fun bit.
Trick them a little more. Well, then everybody would be like mad. Like, they made a fool of him, and it's like, that's what they're for.
Nobody says that about clowns. Clowns are supposed to be made fools of.
This is our whole stable of birthday party clowns. Like, please. More of them should be wearing big red honking noses. Okay, well, anything else you want to say about the international title scene?
I had forgotten this was the international title scene again. It's like, oh yeah, Kenny, that's the belt he has.
Like, I don't think it's that cool that it's like, Kenny, I'd love us to move away from tournaments in the international belt. Like, it's too kind of weird, like, not full tournaments in a row. I'd like us to leave him behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, I love you, but
I also would love a little segment where, like, OC corners Kenny backstage and is like, how is she? And Kenny's like, who
is she? Beautiful?
And she's like, my belt.
Are you
my
rubbing
belt, my beautiful rubbing belt?
Are you buffing her out every night?
Yeah. Are you taking care of her?
All I ask is that you treat her right. Okay, so yeah, so let's see that next week. Perfect. Mox and Cope, as you'll recall, contentiously main evented Revolution, and then they ran it back this week on Dynamite, I guess because everybody was like, that match really sucked, and they were like, we can do better. We promise we can do better, Tony. Did they do better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did. It wasn't great, but just by being a street fight, that adds some interest.
Just by being a street fight. And I think I also said, like, okay, well, Leah, you said they doubled down on everything.
I have to admire that the yes. vibe seemed like Mox was like, I've heard all of your complaints. I've taken them in. I've reflected. And I'm going to fucking do it more.
Right. It's like he's backstage being like, I think they just didn't get it.
Let's repeat it louder.
Let's repeat it louder. And it's inherently funny to be like, that didn't work. Let's do it again. Let's just do it again. And it'll be basically the same thing, but again and more. And it's like, well, yeah, that's good. That was better. It was better to do that.
We'll have runouts, but like 10 times as many this time. And there were a lot last time.
Each runout will be so ineffective.
And so confusing to the viewer.
And they were so fast, all in a row. I kept being, I mean, I got confused. At a certain point,
yeah.
I didn't realize Kip had entered the scene until he was leaving the scene. And I saw his little ponytail and I said, wait a second, I know that body. I know that beautiful body. What, when did he get here?
I did have a moment of like, Kip's out here? Why is Kip involved?
They should have done it like a casino battle royale and had like the clock on them.
To the next run out.
Yeah, it'd come down and then the music hits and we're like, delightful. Oh, it's the next run out.
Man.
Did the music didn't even hit for any of them. Were they not wearing their collars?
That's really irresponsible to let them run around without their collars on or their chips in.
If they're going to be out of their kennels.
Like. I'm actually going to – can you make an action item? We're going to have to call Tony about that. You can't be letting your wrestlers run around unchipped. They're probably not even neutered.
They're going to get all the other wrestlers pregnant.
Jesus, this is why we have a feral street cat problem in this country. So they started backstage. They did like a Cope attacked Mox as he was coming out, and then they brawled in a truck of some sort. I think Jeff Jarrett's guitar was there. They used that as a prop. That was kind of a fun Easter egg for the JJ lovers who may have been missing him.
They're probably really upset because he just disappeared from TV and has never been heard from again.
Apparently there was an article on F4W this week that was like, yeah. It's fucked up that people just disappear, and had a big picture of Jeff Jarrett. And I'm like, who is missing Jeff Jarrett?
I thought that made me feel really good when I saw it, because I was like, a lot of times we will say, I wish this thing would stop. And then sometimes it will stop really abruptly. And I was like, but we do the right thing where we're like, well, it doesn't make any sense how it ended, but at least it's done. So let's move on.
Exactly.
It's like sometimes you do just have to, you know, cut bait and run. Okay, so then they came out, they did all this, you know, they were in the crowd, they were going through tables, do you want to talk about, oh, go ahead.
Cope was wearing stretchy jeans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so how are you feeling? Like, could you keep it?
I said it's a better match. It was a better match. When I see a man in a stretchy jean.
A little bit of stretch.
Jean with a little bit of stretch.
A little bit of stretch.
Immediately, I'm having a good time.
We got to start pulling clips for our 5-year anniversary of just like Teletaka lore.
If only we'd been pulling clips this whole time.
If only we could ever remember a single thing we've said.
We've got to hire somebody to go through our back catalog and just cut anything that's funny.
Yeah.
That's true. That's where our ad money can go. It's like,
I'd love to give them a little comedy test ahead of time, like just to be like, are you suited for this position? I have to make sure that you can identify the funniest possible clips
and put them together in a funny way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So Cope was in his stretchy jeans. His hair remains a problem.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that. And he
there's so little we can do about any of this.
That's such a good point. And we actually can't control any of this.
We have good very reminder. Little authority here.
Very good reminder. Does one of you want to explain the gross out spot?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This was the nastiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really bad. Well, I mean, I loved it, but it was terrible.
Oh yeah. Perfect.
So I was thinking about this recently where I was like, it's crazy that Cope is just allowed to have a bat that he loves when Chris Jericho has been doing it for a very long time.
But yeah.
I know. How come we don't ever see Floyd?
You know the bat's name?
Wow.
A Big J. I know everything about Big J.
I can't really explain how I ended up here, but I was on eBay looking for vintage Chris Jericho shirts the other day.
Really? Are there cool ones?
Yeah, I have to say they were quite funny. Like,
wow.
He's kind of actually, I think, always been a bit of a genius. So.
That man can invent himself.
He truly can. I recommend the search.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so Cope has his bat, his beloved bat that I don't believe has a name.
It's named Spike.
It's named Spike.
Uh-huh. And before you go on, can I just say, don't you kind of think that the bat looks a little silly? Like it kind of looks like a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it's not real. So it's studded. It's a bat studded with something.
Yeah.
But they're not real nails. But obviously, as we're talking, as we'll get into, they do something. What are they doing?
They do something. They do, yeah.
What are they then?
I know, that's what I'm like. When the camera closes in on them, I'm like, well, that's not like, it's not like a metal nail, but what is it?
Wood?
Maybe.
Painted wood?
But anyway, so what? So Cope was holding it still, and then Mox fell on it, right? Is that, or did he get power-bombed on top of it?
He got power-bombed.
Yeah, he got bombed on top of it. And then he stood up, and Yuta tried to take it out of his skin. And
it was sticking to his back for like a while.
It was in there for a while.
Yeah, yeah, and then Yuta went to move it, and you saw his back muscles moving as Yuta tried to get it out. And then
that skin was about to peel all the way off.
To really gently,
Yuta backed away and was like, "I don't have the training for this." And so the ref, who was the ref? It wasn't Bryce.
Was it Paul Turner?
Paul Turner.
Oh my god, we can even name the refs. Shut Paul it down. Turner. We have to get out of here.
Paul Turner is the only one I would trust with
so
that.
Wrong. So
wrong. Yeah.
He did something where like he was like unhooking it from.
It like took a while though.
It looked intense.
Wheeler like grabbed his head when he saw, before he tried to pull it out, he grabbed his head kind of like a sim in distress, you know? And I was like, oh, that's so funny, like overdoing it. And then he went over to do it. And then as the skin was like pulling way back off of Mox's back, like I saw someone in the crowd like wincing and grabbing his head. And then I noticed I on my couch was grabbing my head. And I was like, maybe it's not an over the top reaction. Maybe that's just appropriate to what's happening. It's so gross.
It was really intense. I'm glad that they got it out and that Mox seemed fine afterwards. I hope he doesn't. What infection did he get last time? Did he get MRSA? He got something.
Last time what?
He got something from a ring.
From his barbed wire match? Did Kenny get
in AEW or in WWE?
Well, now I'm like,
Punk allegedly got MRSA, but I think unsubstantiated. I swear to God, maybe a lie.
In his episode with Renee of the podcast, he was talking about getting an infection of something.
I believe you.
I might be making this up.
Listen, we don't want him to get an infection of any sort.
No, hopefully he's completely fine. Yeah. But I didn't appreciate all of the people who were like, and that's why women don't watch AEW. Could you let me get grossed out by a spot in peace?
Sometimes the gross...
Mox did have MRSA. Good job, Leah.
Wow. Oh, hell yeah!
Points on the board. Point on the board. Congrats.
It is really serious. It's, yeah.
And said, guys, stop laughing. It's actually a pretty big deal. What was I going to say? MRSA, something about MRSA, something about Mox. Oh, guys, I don't know. What were we saying?
Oh, the podcasters being like, this is why women don't watch.
Oh, I was just going to say, the gross out is part of the enjoyment. Like, that's like I was in such titillated tones to you guys, was like, you didn't tell me that I would see all the skin come off a leg in the first episode of The Pit. And you were right not to.
But like, I get annoyed when people are like, that grossed women out. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't turn it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like being
penalized.
Women love
to pick blackheads. Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
I want to see it.
Right, but it's like watching a scary movie and screaming. Exactly. And then someone being like, women can't tolerate scary movies. And I'm like, okay, I had fun screaming.
Right,
that was like, part of it.
It worked as designed. You're not supposed to watch that and be like, yep, That he got him good there. You're supposed to watch and be like, oh, gross. That's kind of the point of it. That's what it's for.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, so they did all that stuff. The match concluded with a clown car double down. So we had Yuta, Claudio, and Pac all running out to attack Cope. FTR made their triumphant return and ran out for the save. Luckily, what I'm about to say, so we'll leave it. But in the moment, I was like, we shouldn't have said anything. We were all wrong to bring up the fact that they were dropped from this storyline. We should have just let it lie. Cope covered Mox, but the cover got broken up because Marina Shafir ran out. And then where one woman goes, another must follow. So Willow ran out to take care of Marina. And then Nick Wayne and Kip both appeared and attacked Cope, leading Mox to get Cope in a bulldog choke. And then he choked him out until he passed out, which is how men prefer to get defeated. And
he was just regulating his breathing.
He was just regulating his breathing. I will say I felt a little... I had a good time. I was disappointed in Cope. And I thought, I'm a fool for saying, like, maybe he wants to run it back so he can lose clean. That was, that's on me. He did not want to lose clean, actually. He had no interest in losing clean. So afterwards, Mox and the Death Rider screedled off into the crowd. Adam Copeland was left. He'd, you know, magically resuscitated himself quite quickly. And he was confused. How could this have happened to me? And he's looking around at, you know, his compatriots who are mostly kind of empathizing with him. And he puts out a hand to old Dax Harwood to say, help me up, buddy. I need it. And Dax shoved his hand away and then shoved Cash and then stomped into the back, really mad. Now, let's just ask ourselves why. Why so mad?
I'm literally no idea.
What's so angry?
I'm obsessed with it because they're like, oh, you think FTR can't do emotions? Watch me do emotions. And I'm like, you can't just be like, this is an emotion without having any reason why you caused it. Like, clearly they're going to try to do a heel turn, but it's so, like, random. Like, so... on Collision, they fought the Undisputed Kingdom and won, and then refused to shake Undisputed Kingdom's hand.
Which is, I understand that this is what a heel is, but it's confusingly churlish. Like, it's just right, like, well, you've won the match.
Well, they're not you heels won. Right now.
Well, I know, but if they're heel turning, like, it would make sense as a
But, like, there needs to be a reason to head that
that's
direction,
I'm
though.
Saying, like, if it's coming out of, like, you just had a win... That's like, I understand the thought, the basic thought process of, like, heels are badly behaved, so I'm going to heel turn, so I'm going to start being badly behaved. But it's like, well, a good person needs something to push them into being badly behaved. What is pushing you?
There has to be something that, like, the United Kingdom in some way denied them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that they feel that, like, they were done dirty. And, like, you could do something where, like, FTR is pissed that Cope lost. But they would have had to have backed it up for weeks, being like, let us fight with you. Let us, like, whatever. And Cope pushing them away, and then lost. And they were, and then Dax is pissed that he's like, you thought you could do it yourself and you didn't, and you're an idiot, and I'm not standing with you. Like, you have to have a reason.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And what is the reason?
Commentary was being like, oh, Dax is really mad and, like, with good reason. And then another one of them was like, oh, and, like, yeah, but be mad at John Moxley. Don't be mad at Copeland. It's like, there's no reason for him to be mad at either of them because he has not cared at all about the storyline for, like, a month. So, like, why would I think he's invested in whether Cope can beat Mox or not?
Well, and, like, another thing that you could do that, like, this would emotionally kind of make sense. You could do something where, like, Cope... and he'd kind of be a different character in this scenario. But where Cope is being like, I want to fight Mox and I want to win, but I understand that whether I win or lose, I still have worth as a person. And Dax keeps going like, yeah, but you're going to win, right? It's really like, we're buddies. Like, we're all really strong. It's so important to us to be strong. You're going to win. Yeah. And Cope's being like, yeah, I'm going to win. But, like, even if I don't win, I'll still be worthy as a human being. And Dax is being like, yeah, but you're going to win. Like, you could do that back and forth and then have it be a thing where it's like, you're slowly realizing, like, wow, it's a little too important to Dax to like be the toughest, biggest guy. Like, his friend is being really emotionally well regulated. Like, but he doesn't seem to be able to handle that. Like, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Like, if he'd lost to Undisputed Kingdom and then refused to shake their hand, it's like, oh, that's a good heel term, because it's like, oh, you can't handle losing. Like, you're too invested in this. Like, then, and you're starting to behave bad, and then you're moving that direction. But,
right. And again, like, you couldn't, like, I don't think that they are capable of doing this, because it would take a level of introspection that I don't think they have. But you could really do something so interesting, where Dax's thing is, he's like, but we were celebrated. Everyone said we were the top team of the year. Everybody said, like, everybody loves us. The crowd loves us. They love chanting for us. And it's like, that's slipping away. They're not chanting as much anymore. And we're not winning as much. And people aren't talking about us. And he's just getting madder and madder. And, like, the more he clutches at success, the farther it goes away from him. And he, like, and that twists up until he starts cheating. Like, that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Again, it would take a different man.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, I mean, actually, it's like, it would be a different but effective Mean Girls beat in the right hands for, like, Dax to win and the United Kingdom, who also are heels, but I don't know their faces, I guess, like, to be like, well, like, it was a match well fought and, you know, you were the opponents and whatever, and to go to shake their hand, and for Dax to be like, I would never touch your filthy hand, like, you're not fit to lick my boots, like, that is a good, I don't think that's what happened, but I don't feel that confident, because I'm like, I haven't seen a lot of it, maybe. I don't know, maybe they've been doing stuff I haven't seen. I'm willing to accept that that's possible.
I mean, I saw a lot of people being like, if you're mad about Danny Garcia's title run, then just admit that you don't watch Collision. And I was like, I read at least the recap of Collision every week, and I don't think that they're doing.
I mean, the man is in an extended feud with Adam Cole. You can't think that. come on. I'm sorry.
It's not going well. Come on. Yeah. And even, like, it's like FTR, they could be doing great storytelling, but, like, they, you know, they're obviously not capable of that, but, like, could they at least try to tell, like, a semi-coherent story, like a basic wrestling beat story? And they're not even doing that. Like, this was just nonsensical.
That's the other thing that I was thinking, is that, like, the Young Bucks, you could see them doing something like that, where they do something that they don't fully explain or doesn't make a lot of sense in the ring, but you sure as shit would see a promo segment, like, you know, the next available moment where they're like, here's what I was thinking. This is why I didn't shake his hand. This is what's going on with me. And you'd be like, great. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that there was no follow-up where Dax was like, this is why I'm mad at Cope. And the other thing is, like, so he and Cash aren't on the same page about this.
Because
Cash was on the same page about not shaking the UK's hand. But Cash was crouched behind Cope, petting Cope's shoulders like a weird, like, puppy, where was just like,
yes.
And so, like,
and he, like, ran after Dax, and Dax, like, pushed him away, and then he went back, and it's just like, okay.
And I did have a moment where I was like, okay, it's not that I enjoy FTR, but if they break up, what is anybody a tag team?
That is just like, we're folded up the division. I know. I guess.
It really was like, oh, okay, the booth is empty, huh? We're not going to be selling stuff there anymore. Yeah, I don't really understand it. I mean, but then, I don't know. It's like, you can't really assume that it is meaningful in any way when FTR is involved, because it's like, they could just retcon, you know, they could just retcon that next week or something. I think I've just been sitting here thinking, like, the mark of a really talented wrestling storyteller, I think, is that, like, there are people who can accept that every week for TV, they're going to get handed a card that's like, this is what you're doing. You know, it's like, sometimes they may have a say in it, but, like, there's a possibility you're just going to get handed a card, and it's like, you got to do that. And instead of, like, thinking of that in isolation, they're like, okay, here's where I was last week. And I have to get, that's point A, I have to get to point B. I'm going to try and figure out what I can do to logically get from point A to point B. And sometimes it's going to work better than other times, because I have limited resources, you know, time, like, you know, stuff I can do. But there are plenty of people where you can always see them trying to get from point A to point B and caring about it.
In retrospect, Chris Statlander got handed that that card. You know, somebody said to her, I know you just heel turned, but you're face turning now abruptly. And she did her very goddamn best to be like, okay, I was at A, now I'm at B, and now I'm going to do my goddamn best to tell you how I got here. And is it the cleanest? Is it the best? No, it's not how any of us would have done it. But she's certainly doing her best to try to sell it.
Yeah. And very much to her credit, she has not dropped it. She's like, still trying to have character continuity.
Mm-hmm. And I think Chris is a great example because it's like she's not one of the like really gifted storytellers at AEW, but at least she's trying, and I can cut people so much slack when they're trying. But I don't think I've ever seen FTR try to have any kind of continuity.
Chris is not that gifted at like conveying emotions in a promo.
Yeah.
And the women's division is a absolute competition for like 20 seconds. And if she can manage to do that with the limited amount of time she's given and what she's working with, and Dax has all the time in the goddamn he has 2 hours every fucking Saturday. Yeah.
All of Collision.
Yeah. And he couldn't figure this out.
I think it feels, that's too much. I was about to say, in some ways it feels disrespectful to me, the viewer.
Dax gets more time than all the women, pretty much, and does nothing with it. Yeah.
But I do feel like I'm not saying it's the least you can do, but it's the thing that I'll reward the most, probably, is if I see you trying and being like, yes, in a way we're playing a long game of Exquisite Corpse where I have very little control over a lot of elements of storytelling, which of course is one of the reasons, like for the Bucks, that a tool like BTE was so good because they have good storytelling instincts and they were like, this is a place where we have total control.
Yeah.
So they really could like make it work. But if they're trying with their limited resources, you get so many points from me for that, like way beyond... You know, it goes way beyond whether or not it was actually successful at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's leave FTR behind for now, but I'm sure they'll do.
As I'd love to do.
Yes,
I'd
love to do it
forever.
It's not forever, because I'm sure they're going to do some more really intentional storytelling for us in the weeks and months to come.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome, with autopay plus taxes and fees, guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Also in the main event scene, Swerve cut a promo on Collision about his upcoming match for the title, and MJF cut a promo on Dynamite about the belt in general, kind of throwing himself into the ring. Meanwhile, Will Ospreay fought AR Fox on Dynamite and won, and then stared meaningfully at the All In poster. As you'll recall, I actually have no idea whether we covered it on this podcast, but last week he kind of implied his intention to enter the Owen Hart tournament and make it to the main event of All In.
We extensively covered that promo.
Well, we covered
any of the content that he actually said.
What I was remembering was we definitely said a lot about it, but I'm not sure we got to the the point of the promo, really. Hangman also had a backstage interview with Renee on Dynamite,
which she introduced by saying, Hangman, as you know, Swerve is going to fight Mox, so of course we had to talk to you, which is just like...
Very horny.
You have a sexual relationship with both these men, so funny for let's him get to be you like, in here.
It's so funny for Renee to be like, the two men that you've had the strongest, most like zesty sexual relationship with in the past 2 years are going to fight each other. Where will you be seated when you jerk off?
And let me remind you, one of them is my husband. My own husband.
Anything you want to tell me about what you're going to do to him?
And she looks so cute. And she, I mean, she always has like such a good little rapport with Hangman, even when he's in not the best spirits and not being that nice to her. because she always kind of looks when he was nice to her, but when he's not nice to her, she always kind of looks like, oh God, he's still in this mood. I thought maybe we'd get a little drink after this, but I guess not.
Her and Hangman, and then she and OC have like a special little relationship too. It's like, I'd love to get the three of them like in a car tripping somewhere and just like film it for
me. We need our show. We need our show.
Our show that we book on the road. Yeah.
Okay, so
at the pumps.
Hangman said he was kind of working through, like, yes, you've come to me because this is about Swerve, and I know I said in the past that I would never let Swerve win the world title again, and actually, I'm not sure that was a very healthy way for me to be thinking about it, and perhaps if I would like to win the title, and maybe I want to win it for myself, Renee. I said, that's beautiful. You're really trying. Because he did a good job of, like, you could kind of feel him being like, and I still actually feel that way.
Of course I vowed it, and of course I will still stop it from happening, but I'm really moving on from that. Renee, thank you for asking.
Trying very hard not to be that way anymore. And so he ended his little promo by kind of looking at the camera and saying, bruv. So he kind of set his sights on, he said, I'll be entering the Owen, bruv. And he set his sights on Osprey. So we've got a lot of, you know, kind of our classic men floating around the men's title scene. What do you think? What are you thinking? Are you scared? I'm a little scared. I'm scared.
Yeah. It's like, I want very badly for Swerve to win it at Dynasty and then Hangman to win it off him at Y'all In. But I don't really believe that's in the cards, probably. So
I feel there are two wolves inside of me. The one wolf is like, you get so mad at other people for getting pre-mad about booking. And you don't know what's happening. You don't know how the cards are going to go. You can't get mad about this. But the other wolf is so mad already because I can just feel our hot, wet American summer like drifting away. And we're going to get... We're not going to get it.
We don't want cold, drizzly British Redux is our problem. But I will say, look, I'll say this. I don't know the future, girls.
None of us do. All we know are our anxieties about it.
None of us do. Knock on wood, but it's hard for me to imagine a colder and drizzlier British summer than we had last year with Bryan Danielson, who, God bless him, has many positive characteristics. He is an eco warrior, you know, I support that, but he really didn't come to work in many ways. And what you have to say for everybody else who's looking at the title right now is that at least recently, whether it's always been successful or not, they're coming to work.
Yeah.
They are showing up to work. Very true. I don't necessarily think, even though I love him with all my heart, I don't necessarily think that Will Ospreay should become the world champion, but I think that if he becomes the world champion, it would be okay. I actually think it would be okay. I think that they could find a way to make it work. And I think that he seems very open to trying to tell stories or like meeting other people where they're at. Like, so I, you know, it's just not ideal, but it doesn't upset me the way like our Danielson summer did, where I was like, I feel like you're genuinely, I don't feel like you're here, and I do feel like it's disrespectful to me and to everybody involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely wouldn't be the disaster that the world title scene is like 90% of, the, well, 70% of the time. How often do I hate the world title scene?
A lot. Yeah.
You know.
50 to 70.
We've rarely liked it. I think it's like that Kenny Hanger almost stretch never was kind of like for us.
Right, yeah.
Kind of it.
Yeah, that's what. The thing, I also agree that an Ospreay title run would not be a disaster. I'm fine with him winning it. He spent a long time like not winning it, which is like we were worried, you know, that he was going to win it on day one.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. And so I'm fine. I'm, you know, whenever they decide to give it to him, the only thing that I worry about is that if Swerve loses at Dynasty, and so Mox keeps it until he like loses it to, you know, to Ospreay after the Owen, that means that Ospreay is going to be the one who ends the Death Rider stuff,
that won't make
which
any
I'm
sense.
Like, of course I love Osprey, and of course I have so much fun. He needs a different story than that. That's not a story for Ospreys.
I want to be super clear. I don't think that he should win it. I don't.
No, I'm not saying that.
But just for, you know, just for those of you who are doing the dishes and coming in and out, and maybe you heard me say something and you were like, wow, that bitch thinks that he should win, huh? I don't think that he should win.
Listeners, during the, we just cut a section where Allie was like, I hate Swerve and Hangman, and I hope they never touch the belts.
To me, it's a no-brainer for Swerve to win it back. Like, and it would be a bit of a swerve for Mox. I think that Mox could do some interesting character pinging off of, like, having it snatched out of his jaws by someone who's just like, look, you're deranged, mm-hmm. and we just can't do this anymore. I'm sorry, I had to get involved. I think it would be good for Mox. I think it would be great for Swerve. I think that Swerve and Hangman legitimately got robbed last year. Like, they should have gotten to have the main event of All In. I think they would have killed it. And I think they deserve to have it this year, not only because they didn't get it last year, but because they've shown time and time again that, like, they have the chemistry. They can bring it back at the drop of a hat. It's not just, like, that they're owed it, but it's, like, they always earn it. So, uh-huh. like, for me, it is a no-brainer to be, like, put it on Swerve, let Swerve and Hangman fight again. Like, let Hangman have a reign that he didn't get to have last time, really, because he didn't really get to do that much. And then he had to lose to fucking CM Punk.
I know. But that's the thing. And it's like, Hangman losing to Ospreay would be so fun eventually. You know what I mean? Like, if Swerve kept it for a couple months,
yeah.
and then Hangman kept it for 6 months, and then you gave it to Ospreay from there, that would be such a good year.
It would be a great year. It would be very fun. Like, all the matches would be fun. It would be a super fun, like, series of champions in terms of matches. But also, Hangman is your guy who has literally never not brought someone up to his level. Maybe except for CM Punk, and that's a kind of a special case. In a way, he did. He injected the only heat the feud had. So, anyway, but everyone comes up to Hangman's level. Like, Hangman is the storyteller. He could teach Ospreay so much, and I do think that Ospreay is eager to learn. I'm often comparing him to one of my sweetest freshman students who's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I do something right, and then you're happy with me, and I love that you're happy with me. And I come to office hours, and I'm like, I can't wait to make you happy with me again. I wrote another story, and I'm like, oh, it's really bad. You didn't do, and I didn't do anything that I said, but I love your attitude. That's Will Ospreay. Yeah. Put him and Hangman together. Like, Hangman would teach him a lot. They would have a great feud. It would be a great handoff of the title. Like, it's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Use the resources you have. Like,
and Swerve and Hangman are the two that are constantly, like, doing as much as possible with whatever time they get and whatever opportunities they get. So it's just, like, give them more time and more opportunities.
And they're people who aren't going to, you know, like, I'm sorry, John Moxley, but they're not going to drag you into another, like, I've got a really big vision that I can't follow through on situation. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's really,
but,
like, so dire. Like, it just needs to come off Mox for his own good. It's like, you've really eaten too much sugar, buddy. I'm going to take that away.
I know. Although Leah, after the match in one of our chats, was just like, I'm eating my rat on a stick, and I'm saying, I am entertained. Let them have another year. And I was like, you know, when I'm laughing, I will say yes to anything. And I have said multiple times, I'm like, with Mox, I am kind of interested in whether we could circle back around. It's like, looking really cool, again. Looking like a dickhead. Looking really cool, looking like a dickhead. I'm like, I don't know, let's ride the merry-go-round, maybe. I love to laugh. Don't quote me on that, though. Again, I don't want him to keep the title, but it's funny to
But these
about.
Last two have tipped over into comedy.
Tipped over into comedy, which is not there nothing.
No,
it's not nothing.
There was a point in the amount of run-ins and how ineffectual they were that I 100% circled around and was like, I'm having the time of my life.
When you're in your head just going like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It's like all the skin almost came off of Mox, almost got flayed in the ring, and now FDR, like, Nick Wayne's here.
Man. And then when I'm really living. When I'm mentally picturing Mox backstage, like, they didn't get it. We have to do it again. They didn't understand it. You know, it's so the situation is dire, but is it? I don't know. Yeah, it is. But is it? I don't know.
But is it?
Anyway, so again, I do think, I think Swerve should win. I think it would work for everyone. I think it would set up a series of potential champions where it's like nothing but good. It's nothing but really talented people helping each other mm-hmm. become more successful and more talented.
And then Darby comes back into that situation.
And you get Darby into it with Osprey. Look, I know some of you don't like Darby. I've heard you, but
he's dumb as hell. He's bad at promos, he's fun.
I don't know what to tell you. When I see the man wrestle, I love fucking watching him wrestle. I would, if he were here, if he hadn't decided to climb a fucking mountain, I would be very happy for him to win the mm-hmm. title. I wish he would come back and mm-hmm. win the title. I think he would have a fucking great reign. But he's not here. He really wanted to climb Everest. He's waiting. He's in line. At Everest. He's in line at the Walgreens that is Mount Everest, and we don't know how long he'll be there. All the registers are down.
Do you know what? It
takes a while, you know?
I accidentally got into like an Everest section of TikTok, section of TikTok where, like, I don't know, like every fifth video is like something someone took from the top of Everest, and I look for Darby in every single
Oh my god, Leah, if you just happened to find Darby in the background of an Everest TikTok, it would be the best day of my life. I would flip my life.
Wow. This is making me like, should I get on Everest TikTok? That sounds like a fun enrichment activity.
To be honest, there's a lot of TikToks that are run by Sherpas. And they're so fun.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because
good for them.
They're like, fun. Yeah, yeah. They're like, we're running the ropes for clients the next morning and they show the work that it goes into it. And I'm like, this is so cool.
all the white people saying they climbed Everest when really like a Sherpa carried them up Everest. Okay.
Maybe Darby should have like interned as a Sherpa. I would almost respect that.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems like
respectable.
Unpaid, Darby. Unpaid internship.
Mm-hmm. You don't take those Sherpas money.
Do not. In fact, you should have to pay them.
Yeah.
To intern. Yeah.
It's a paid internship. You pay them.
It's a paid internship, but you have to carry so much luggage. That's good. We're doing good work here. All we really want is a wet, hot American summer. Let me just bring up the one other thing I have here. Well, when we say that it expands to take the time.
I know. Jenny, we were like, well,
end early.
The schedule's like light. We'll end early. We're going to hit the 90 minutes.
Foolish.
And we still have to talk about Tony.
We still have to talk about Tony.
Remember one time when we were talking about like, oh, maybe we won't have a long one this time. Or maybe we were like, maybe we'll go long. And Marjorie was like, you guys always run the same amount of time regardless. It was like... That's true. That was a good call.
You just have to think of like all the times in the last episode that I was like, we have to move on. I haven't said that once tonight, and that was a mistake, perhaps.
Well, we didn't know because we only had three things in the schedule.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, even though we've gone too long, I just want to say, Swerve in his promo saying, I'm sorry I couldn't bring Nana out here with me. He's at home safeguarding the embassy robe. I just immediately thought he laid an egg, and he has to stay with that egg and keep it safe. I think it's really beautiful that Swerve respects that. That he's... sitting on
it. Probably helped him build the nest, you know?
That's why he was so mad that Ricochet stole the robe, because the robe is key to him laying an egg.
Yeah, he says, I can't lay an egg unless I have my robe on.
The robe is what keeps the egg warm.
Everyone is always saying that. The robe is what keeps the egg warm, and the hair is what's inside the man.
Still don't like it.
Okay. Chris Statlander and Megan Bain main evented Dynamite in a big old women's hoss match. And I think I understand the appeal of Megan Bain.
Yeah, this was the match where she redeemed herself, and when I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
I got
it.
I like her. I understood before that she was clearly objectively beautiful. She definitely seemed capable of wrestling. I got it before, but then I watched this match and I thought, oh, I've been activated. I'm activated to Megan Bain being like, when I encounter another big ol' hoss, that's when I kick it in the gear and we just wail on each other and we powerbomb each other around. And it's like I'm watching a constellation being made. That's how it feels. They're in the sky. They're kind of giants in the sky. Is this anything?
Wow, yeah. I love it. Yeah. I'm with you.
It's like this is the story of like how the North Star came to be. It's like because Megan Bain
threw someone in there. Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's how Orion got in the sky.
I
Megan Bain threw him there.
Powerful gay stuff. Thank God. Tony was on commentary. Just erotically deranged stuff coming out of this woman's mouth.
The things she was saying. I love her so much. When she was like, now the thighs on this one, these ones, they crush melons with them. And like,
the my favorite part. From commentary of just like, what does, like, you could tell that they were like, I'm scared to say anything because what if that means something I don't understand? And it's like, it does. But then she's coming back in like, those thighs could crush a watermelon. And they're like, okay, we are talking about melons too. All right. Okay. I think we can go with that.
I'm obsessed with it because, like, I feel like commentary, like, when they have someone on the desk with them, their vibe is very much like, I'm playing along.
Yeah.
I'm supporting the gimmick. With Tony, they're like, you've set me in the middle of a minefield. And I just got to get out of here alive.
And half the time they're like, they can't, they're laughing and trying not to like make it clear on commentary. You know, Excalibur's like trying to silently laugh and can't talk for a few minutes, which is
well, incredible. You can tell that she's like, I'm going to come to commentary and I'm going to do everything I can to break you. It's the best,
did she say
like
something
about SNL skits where someone is clearly like, you're not going to be able to keep going on. And they're all Bill Hader-ing. They're like,
yeah.
They're, I didn't know she's John Mulaney
throwing things into the cue card. Yeah, did she say something about a strap on at one point? I think
that
she did.
At maybe at the ring. At the end. The end where she did that monologue of just like banger after banger after banger.
But then what was the, she also was just saying stuff that was just like, that's so perfectly crazy. What was the thing she said where she was like, where does she live? Of Megan Bain, where does she live? A Greek restaurant?
And then she said, Megasaurus? Is that what she goes by? Well, if she's Megasaurus, then I'm the Stormado Dragon. And Taz was like, Komodo Dragon? And she was like, no, Stormado.
And she was like, the same tongue and dry skin as the Komodo Dragon. And she says it all with a perfectly straight face, too, which is incredible.
She's she is an unparalleled performer. Yeah. Like, I don't understand anyone who doesn't like her gimmick, but you must at least, if you are that person, give her credit for her, just her skills in delivering the lines.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
She's unreal.
Full commitment to making men uncomfortable. So good.
But yes, the segment ended with, so Megan Bain beat Chris. My brain was pretty kind of like horny offline at that point. Tony ended up coming out to the ring and they had like a confrontation. She was wearing a dress that I do keep calling a caftan, but it wasn't a caftan, but
it was like, was it velveteen? It was sort of something
looking. Yeah.
It was something you would like wear as like a Morbid of Destiny, like cosplay.
It's Virgin in a Renaissance fair style. Yeah.
She's on Broadway.
She looked great.
That's all we can say, really.
Yeah.
And she and Megan Bain faced off. They got into a brawl. They had to get pulled off each other. As Megan Bain was leaving, Tony launched into a screed that did include her saying, I'll walk away from Dynasty with this strap. Well, she said a lot. I have to say.
She was like, she said something like, I'm going to make you shake and I'm going to make you quake and then I'm going to leave you with my strap on. Like, insane. And it was just like, oh my God, this is the horniest thing I've ever
heard.
On
my
How
feet.
Are you allowed to do this?
I was applauding. I
think she gets away with.
I said, women loving women. She is everything to me. I do just want to, nobody likes when I call it out. None of it was recapped on AllElitewrestling.com, which is literally homophobia. And we can't probably litigate that anymore in today's America, but never.
Actually, Donald Trump put out an executive order that AEW.com couldn't put these up.
Oh my God.
He actually
deleted it. Sorry to have said that name, but.
Well, you know, we do our best. We do our very best, and you must admit our best is pretty good given the state of the world. Any thoughts on, just general thoughts on the match, the upcoming Megan Bain Tony at Dynasty?
Megan fought Chris before, and it was fine, but it didn't do me like this.
No, I actually didn't remember that they fought before.
And so now I'm like so lit up that I'm like, oh, of course I can't wait until she fights Tony. It's going to be amazing. Megan, I really need, don't let me down. No, I'm understanding you. I'm interested in you. I think Tony had said something, I think it was when she was on commentary, where she was like, and what's with the fact that she's silent? Yes. So clearly, like, that's coming up. So like, I'm like, say something cool, have a great match with Tony. I'm prepared to love you.
Yeah.
Please. Don't drop me.
Yes, I thought that was good. She did. She hung a little lampshade, as all the best are doing these days. Pop a little lampshade on there. Wow, suddenly it looks so good. Oh, she's silent for a reason. Perhaps because the silent film era preceded Tony's own. I'm excited to see them fight. And then finally, also in the women's division, Billy Starks and Mercedes Moné fought on Dynasty. It was just super fun. I thought this was such a fun little flippy little match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mercedes does a really good job of being like, and this will be a breeze. Wait a minute. Why isn't this a breeze? Why are you so annoying? I can't. Hold on. I'm trying to squash you. Why do you keep escaping from me?
Stop wriggling while I'm trying to squash you. It's an extremely fun vibe for a heel to have. It's just like, can you I'm trying to do something really cool, so can you please stay still while I do it?
Can you just lay down and let me pin you and stop?
And Billy Starks is just, like, such a fucking cutie patootie. Like,
she is.
Yeah. She comes out and she does her little blep peace sign thing, and I'm just like, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, I'm so proud of you.
I love her so much. She's from my hometown, and still the favorite show I've ever been to was for her birthday.
Oh, so cute.
Back in the day.
Yeah, it did crack us up that it was Billy from Louisville against Mercedes from Boston. And I was like, is it Anne versus Leo match?
Although, as you then pointed out, you're just billed from Boston.
I'm just billed from
Boston.
That's
right. Yep.
Actually, from the Brass City.
Billy Starks is my Brass City bitch. So,
who's my Brass City bitch? Who even comes from?
Mark Briscoe.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. I want a different one. I want a different Brass City bitch, please. Can anyone else from Delaware wrestle? I'm sorry, Mark. You're fine. You're fine. Leah, what did Mercedes say afterwards? I think I missed it. I really liked her comments after.
Yeah, she was like, wow, like, Billy really tried, but like, if I were her mentor, I'd be embarrassed. Her mentor should be so embarrassed. If I was her mentor, she'd be doing so much better, and she wouldn't be just as humiliated as she is now, or something like that. Or she just kept hitting it pretty, like, you know, obviously. And I know that the implication was just that she was taunting Athena, but I went on my own separate journey where I was like, she wants to become Billy's mentor. And so Billy is going to turn on Athena and join Mercedes. And then she'll have a comedy person to bounce off.
Yeah.
Of, and that'll be fun.
It would be very fun for them to use her, for Athena and Mercedes to build a feud and use Billy Starks as a pawn and be like kind of fighting over her. It, you know, not necessarily because she's so indispensable to either of them, but it's like, well, it's the toy that's here. So
Well,
of course we're going to tug on it until one of our arms comes out of the socket.
Right.
I'm so excited for Athena and Billy to both be released from ROH.
Bring them back. Bring them home.
I need it.
Bring them home. Mm-hmm. Bring our soldiers home. Okay. Well, that was about a million years for three topics. So I think we did ourselves proud on our fourth anniversary. And as a reward, and I'm kicking it to you, Steve Kornacki.
Oh, yeah.
David Kornacki. Who's David Kornacki?
Hey, now that's a boy that I could get into.
Oh, God, this is such a good wrestle boy.
Perfect boy. Glide, you beautiful boy.
Best spots in AEW tournament.
Here we go. We're on week four of the Best Bods tournament. This is getting shorter as we go because there's fewer matches. Yeah. And also we have discussed these bodies in some depth.
We know these bodies intimately.
We know these bodies. So we're at our semifinals. In our Western bracket, we've got Swerve versus Chuck Taylor. In our Eastern bracket is Hangman versus Max Caster. So pretty exciting.
Wow.
So we'll start with Swerve versus Chuck Taylor.
You picked such cute Dustin pairs.
I know. You did perfect.
Okay. Of course, they're old pictures since he will not permit us to see him, much less with his shirt off. But
like, girls, I'm doing everything I can to quit the biz.
If this was 2022... I think that this would be closer. I think I would be like much more violently in favor of Dustin. But I am sort of like, he won't show it to me.
He won't show it.
Yeah.
That's, he won't show it to me.
It's a huge, I mean, it takes points off.
It points off. We only see him once every 6 months. And when we see him, he's wearing a baggy black polo. Mm-hmm. There has to be points.
That man's vibe is that he's been pregnant three times between now and the last time we saw his torso, and he's done everything he can to hide it.
He's just walking around carrying like plants in front of him like he's on a TV show. I mean, he is on a TV show intermittently. And I do think it would set a bad example for the rest of the roster if points were not deducted for keeping your shirt on.
You know, it's like if we can't see the body, we can't rate the body. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Allie, we're not rating bodies.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Celebrate the body.
We don't rate. We celebrate. listen, Dustin, you're my perfect boy. You're my sweet son. You're a fucking freak. Your brain is juicy fruit gum. I could chew on it for a million years. Well, not juicy fruit gum. I couldn't chew on that for a million years. But just anything, like a pencil eraser. I love chewing on those. That's what your brain is to me. You are everything to me. But I am going to have to go with Swerve's body on this one.
I am. I mean, there are many people that the memory of Dustin would be able to overcome. Yeah. But when I look...
I guess it sounds like a perfume.
The memory of Dustin.
The sexiest name.
There's a lot of people he could beat.
Yeah.
But Swerve's body that I get to see all the time.
He's really...
And it looks like that.
He's quite free with it, and thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. He shows it.
I mean, he is our number one seed for a reason.
True.
Got the chest, got the thighs.
There was no upsets. You know that with our seeds?
I know, there weren't. The seeds all, beat numerically, which is funny because there was a fair amount of randomization happening.
But I think we have identified that when we get in that Connie format, all bits are off.
That's going to be more interesting.
I'm still mad that I think if Matt wasn't against Hangman, he would have been an upset.
Matt really got
it. Because like looking at the semifinal, I don't think those are my top four necessarily at all, you know. But
Matt really got fucked over by having to go up against Hangman at that stage. It's, you know, that's not good for him.
Yeah. Beautiful Swerve, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Dustin. Thank you so much for
Dustin,
your body.
Thank you for
show
your body.
Only if you feel comfortable doing it, which you don't. And you won't show it to us. I get that.
That's the thing. That's the thing with so many wrestlers. I'd be like, if you're not comfortable, I'm not pressuring you. But I'm like, Dustin's not comfortable. And yet I'm still fucking pressuring
him. Absolutely pressuring him.
Dustin, I think a therapist would say, like, push those comfort boundaries, you know?
Do something that scares you. Like, take your little shirt off. Honestly, like, if you showed me his clothes form, I would be psyched at this point. So.
God. Oh, I want to dress him up like a Ken doll.
Beautiful.
I wish I could put him in a little flannel. Dustin, can I just get you?
He's so cute.
Can I just dress you up like a little Ken doll? Please. Anyway, Swerve, your body's beautiful. Dustin, thank you for your body.
All right. Hangman versus Max Caster. Two beautiful bodies.
Yeah, beautiful bodies.
Two beautiful mustaches, you know.
So oh my God, this is the mustache division.
Mustache.
Wow.
One of you's got to say something, I'm afraid.
I know. Well, I'm just like, the thing is that these are two different bodies, right? Like, mm-hmm.
So true. They do not take, they don't share a body. It's not a timeshare body. They each have their own.
Okay.
But that would be incredible.
That would be amazing.
An incredible premise.
It would be amazing.
Can you imagine if someone had to share a body with Max Caster? I mean,
they would not, comedy. They would choose any other situation so quickly. If there was any other option, they'd be like, let me out mm-hmm. of here.
I'm imagining a scenario where it's like every day they body swap. So it's like they have alternating days in the body, and every day Hangman wakes up with a little migraine, tension, headache, and it's just like, what has he done? What has he done? Back in my body, what did he do on my day off? He spends...
So Hangman gets all the consequences yes. for Max Caster's yeah. actions? Yeah. Wow, that's rough.
That's Max Caster's perfect world.
Yeah.
I make trouble, he cleans it up. Okay, they don't share a body, though.
No.
Are we allowed to use personality if it's a tiebreaker?
I don't think so. I think we.
No,
I think
you can use face.
We can use face. I think some people actually have asked, and I'm not sure we've answered about whether facial features count as body. And we said no, but that we could go up to the nose in a pinch,
which is a very normal parameter yeah, it's fine. To
We're
set.
Fine. We can find
obviously.
This whole time. We can find this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, but
really
they
like
are
Max
both.
Body.
I mean,
yeah, extremely good bodies.
I love that you used a picture of Max Caster in which Hangman is coming up behind him.
I know. I was just trying to get like a not so flexed Max Caster body, and that was the most accessible yeah. picture to me.
It's really the thing is, I think that Hangman wins for me because of points I brought up before, just like the viscerality of his body, just the way that he moves it and stuff. But Max Caster does just have that thing of like, that's my dirtbag boyfriend. Like, it's like, I look at his body and I'm like, I couldn't kick him out. I couldn't kick him out. No matter how bad his behavior
so
was.
So you are using personality, but in a sort of interestingly inverted way.
Yeah, but it's just because of his skin. You're
because
right.
His
maybe,
body
I guess,
makes up for
I
his
guess
personality,
his personality
which
is
shows...
informing it. But like now, they've just become married in my mind, where I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, well, that body is a dirtbag boyfriend body. But you're right. That's you know. Yeah. You're right. I'm biased. I'm speaking from bias. Please bias.
No, I mean you gotta experience the body in the context of.
Here's the thing that I am thinking.
All that came before.
Hangman is a perfect person, and his beautiful body. A lot. He constantly allows me to admire it and never makes me feel ashamed for admiring it. He's always, it's an untroubled life to be a thirsty, to be thirsty.
That's so true. And we don't ding our Ultimo Hangman fans for it enough. You're living the dream.
Yeah.
You're living the fucking dream.
Everything's going well for you.
Yeah. All you complain about is that he doesn't get the world title. It's like, well, I haven't seen Dustin in 8 months. So, yeah, you know.
Right. Meanwhile, Max Caster is out there making fools of us fucking constantly.
Yeah,
he's saying things and doing the things. And yet, despite all of that, we continue to thirst for him. Mm. So, is his body not more powerful?
It's an interesting
question. I can't say that that's nothing, but let me counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Max Caster, even in one of these photos, I would say, oh, stop showing me that many muscles. I don't like when I see that many of them. Hangman, and some man out there would take this out of context as a ding. Let me be so clear. It is the ultimate fucking compliment. That man is absolutely fucking covered in muscles because you see the things he does. He moonsaults. I have never once thought I'm seeing a few too many of them. Every time I see his body, I say perfect combination of muscles, utilitarian muscles, and softness of a normal man, of just a man you could encounter in the wild. He doesn't live at the gym, this man. He's a man who lives in the world.
He does look like he should be bailing hay. I mean, he looks like the hero of like a Hallmark movie, you know, like the country boy, like on the cover of goddamn romance
novel.
That's
what women fucking want. That is what we want.
Yeah, He didn't get those muscles from ab machines. He got those muscles from working on the
phone. You are out there using mm-hmm. that body to make the world a better place. Masscaster, your body is absolutely fucking beautiful, but sometimes I do look at you and I say, get out of the gym and get into the world. Is life happening, Masscaster? Liz Levin 30 Rock?
But what do you think Masscaster would do if you brought him to a farm and said work?
He would absolutely wreck your farm. He would leave the barn doors open. I was about to say something really inappropriate that I won't say. He would, anything that a man could do that would make you say, why would you do that on my farm? He would do it. He would jerk off in the chicken coop. Like, the man is just, there's no end to the things he would do that would cause chaos and havoc. And then at the end of the day, I would say, well, just kiss me, I guess. Let's forget all of this.
At the end of the day, you wouldn't be able to kick him off the farm is the problem. But I would say, you know,
I think we're going to have to discuss some band areas of the farm tomorrow, but that's tomorrow's problem. It's Hangman for me, but it's really difficult. They're just two really, in some ways, yeah. really different, really perfect bodies. Have a little more. I'll have a little more Prosecco now.
Really top tier bodies for me. I do think Hangman slightly edges out Masscaster for me in terms of visceral lust reactions, but it's pretty close.
I'm going to say Masscaster, but I'm not mad to be outvoted.
Yeah. Well, no, of course. Beautiful. The best position you can be in is to be the odd man out. You're not making the decision. You know mm-hmm. what? I'm like kind of sounded cruel. I'm like, you get to benefit from our hard work, Leah.
We made the tough decision, and then you can give Masscaster a pity vote.
Well, if you had called on me first, I would have made the same choice, because I actually think that it is something to say that you thirst for Masscaster even when he's being the worst person alive.
Yeah. You're not wrong to call out the power that his body has. Although I will say some of that also, in fairness, is Masscaster's absolutely perfect cute face. I mean, he is so
he's got an extremely cute face.
Cute. God damn. Well, yeah, you know.
Wow.
Guys, and this girls? Was a tournament of great bodies.
I know. And you know what the final is going to be? Hangman versus Swerve.
And I think it was not impossible for it to. I think we all suspected it could end up here.
I think we all maybe saw it coming, but incredible bodies in this tournament.
Thank you.
Incredible
bodies. Masscaster,
thank you for your
body. Thank you for your body, and you're on notice for your personality and what you did in my chicken coop. Well, another great night of fun. The great experiment continues. Was there anything you wanted to...
Four more years.
Oh, my God. Was there anything you wanted to talk about tonight or any night of the past 4 years that I didn't give you a chance to talk about?
Do you think more people should say nice things about my voice?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Jesus fucking Christ. Can you... Leah got told in the Social Suplex Network Discord that her voice has a bright bell-like quality, and she's making it her whole personality. This is the only thing that matters to this woman now.
I'm borderline going to get a t-shirt commissioned. Like, I bet you are. Allie, Anne, and Leah, a bell-like quality.
I would honestly almost sign off on that t-shirt because that's so funny, but...
Maybe if you were going to wear it to All In, I'd let you. Maybe I'd let you. I think
that's why everyone who has said they had a crush on one of us, it was always Leah. It's that bright bell.
I think that actually all of our voices have a little something to recommend them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your chirpy voice, everybody loves.
We all have our merits. Thank you, guys. So true. Genuinely. We got into a long discussion about our voices in the Social Suplex Network Discord last night, and you're all our sweet angels.
Yeah,
you all said the sweetest, funniest things about us. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to hear other people comment on you, and they never say what you think they will. None of you has ever once commented on anything that is like an obsessive concern of mine about myself, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
It's true.
But absolutely.
You just get new. Yeah, it's like, wow, I'm just perceived in ways I had no idea about.
That's what having a podcast is. It's just every week being like, and they're perceiving me. And what they perceive has shocked me. It's absolutely astounded and gobsmacked me. You're our perfect angels. Thank you so much. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is produced by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on our feed. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a ton of other great podcasts. Fuck, I thought I could do it this time. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we're often talking about the quality of Leah's voice. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, even as spring wears on, and please come back next week.
First Motor Trend Truck of the Year, it was celebrated. But after seven times, what's left to say? The trophy speaks for itself. And now, so does the deal with Employee Pricing Plus. Stop by your local dealer today and take home a Ram truck. Ram, seven-time Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. N6225. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.